Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Fantastic beyond comprehension.
Gripping beyond compare.
Astounding beyond belief.
The mightiest monster of them all.
See Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Hey there, Godzilla fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Tokyo SOS Podcast. That's right, tonight we will be covering Godzilla Raids Again. Of course, I am your host, Thomas Mattis, and of course, I am here with my partner in crime, Jesse. How you doing, Jesse, tonight?
I am good. I'm your PIC, apparently.
What?
PIC, partner in crime. Come on, man.
Oh, yes, partner in crime. Partner in crime. I'm sorry. My other partner in crime doesn't like me calling him partner in crime or sidekick or any of that stuff. So,
no, I'm not your Robin. So, don't get that idea.
No. You're just my Damien.
Okay, I'll take that.
Would you feel better if I called you my Jason Todd?
No, because that would imply that no one likes me.
You mean it would imply that people are waiting for the 1-800 number to come up? So they can
yes.
Vote whether they want to kill you
all. At the end of this episode, if you want Jesse to die, dial 1.
Just to put a little... it seems like I'm picking on Jesse tonight. It's because, to peel back the curtain a little bit, we were supposed to do this episode last night, but somebody forgot to watch the movie.
I don't know. Somebody actually forgot they had a podcast to do. The competition went something like this. Hey, man, you ready? What? Tomorrow, maybe?
Yeah.
I've been really busy, and that's my excuse. I'm sticking with it. But I'm prepared. I've got a synopsis ready and everything.
Yes, we won't sound like we don't know what the hell we're talking about this time, but it's time to go over what happened in the movie. Hopefully you guys enjoyed our April Fool's podcast that we released on, what a shock, April Fool's. Don't take it too... we want it to be as authentic, so really, that was just rambling. We do know we missed probably a lot of shows that came out during the 90s. One of the cartoons, Jesse, that we missed on, like, Disney Afternoon, I realized this, excuse me, as I was listening to this and editing it, which I really didn't, I just, like, edited out the long pauses, was Gargoyles.
Oh, God, I love Gargoyles.
Which
one of the best shows of the 90s.
I feel really bad for it because I'm actually... My other podcast, Spectacular Webs, is a show done by the same director of Gargoyles, Greg Wiseman. So that I really feel extra bad for forgetting about that one.
Yeah, and Keith David did the voice of Gargoyle.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Goliath. And he did a voice of Tombstone, right? For like one episode?
One episode, yeah.
Shame on Thomas.
Same, yeah, I feel extra bad for that. But the funny thing is, after the episode, to really pull the joke off, we are actually really thinking about doing a 90s animation podcast. It's something we have planned right now. We don't know when we're going to release it, but we do have plans on doing that episode.
Yeah, we had so much fun with the gag that, hey, we could probably turn it into something solid.
Excuse me, not episode, but podcast. It is a deal. Like, I was just thinking the other day, we would at least have 50 episodes. At least.
Oh, yeah.
Because, again, we're not just talking about individual shows. We're also talking about movies. And when you put all that together and all the stuff that came out during the 90s, plus the fact that we're counting 1987 to basically 2000, 2001.
Yeah, I could guarantee a couple shows in the Ninja Turtles alone, and that could just be me rambling on. I could talk some Ninja Turtles.
We both can, but we have that. Our Final Fantasy podcast is the idea we've been throwing around between ourselves. Again, it's working to get the time and the space to put the podcast. So just to let you guys know, that's things that we have down the pipe. Moving on, we actually got some emails after our second episode. I would really want to say thanks because this listener came from the Kaiju Cast, so I want to thank Kyle for that shout-out that he gave to us on his latest episode because it got us a viewer and it got his email, and Jesse has the email, and he'll read it for us. Right, Jesse?
I do, and this one is from Leonardo Espinoza, and it starts off, "You guys being the second podcast for Godzilla, I was thinking you guys would be a ripoff of the Kaiju Cast. But you guys are unique in your random sort of way. Well, anything, keep doing what you guys are doing. G-fans in the... Good thing there's some G-fans in the South. I thought I was the only one in Texas. In addition, I suggest, can we read our own reviews for the upcoming films and submit them?"
I would say yes. I mean, guys, if you have... We will let you know what our next episode will be. And again, we do it about a month to month, and we usually try to record by the second week of every month. So we will let you guys know, and at the end of this episode, what our next episode will be covering. So send those reviews towards us. We will read all of them on the air.
Yeah, we'll gladly read any email anybody wants to send in. And if you do send us an email and you don't want it to be on the air, just let us know, and we'll read it, but we won't comment on it or anything.
Yeah, I mean, and if you do want to send us support to let us know how we're doing, but you don't want it read on the air, let us know and we won't. But if you do send us email and you don't specify that you don't want it read, we'll read it. So, because everybody, I know from experience, I know Jesse knows from experience, we both love, most people love when they get their email read. As I stall for time for whatever reason. If it seems like we're stalling for time, that's because we probably don't have much to talk about tonight's episode, Godzilla Raids Again. But before we get into that, Jesse, do you have synopsis?
I do. It's wrote down today. I feel good about it.
Credits for Godzilla Raids Again, a.k.a. Gigantus the Fire Monster. It was produced by Tomoyuki Tanaka. Story was by Shigeki Daka and Takeo Murata. Photography was done by Shiichi Endo. Music was done by Masahiro Sato. The music was not done by the famous Akira Mitsuru. Special effects done by Eiji Tsuburaya. It starred Haruno Nakajima, Katsume Setsuka, Hiroshi Kozuma, Setsuko Wakayama, again, sorry for the mispronunciations, and Minori Chike, and was directed by Motoyoshi Oda.
The movie starts with pilots Tsukayoka and Kobayashi, who are hunting for fish, or schools of fish. Kobayashi's plane crashes on Iwata Island, and Tsukayoka comes to rescue him. There they see Godzilla and another monster fight. Eventually, the two creatures fall into the ocean, and... Okay. Back in Osaka, Kobayashi and Tsukayoka report to the authorities, and they learn that the creature attacking Godzilla is Anguirus. Anguirus is described as being very aggressive and having multiple brains, which allow him to react very fast and move faster than you expect a creature of his size to be able to. Dr. Yamuni, from the first film, shows footage of Godzilla's attack on Tokyo and says that there's nothing that can be defeated, or nothing that can defeat him, as Dr. Shirazawa destroyed himself and the oxygen destroyer and all of his notes for it. He does suggest using flares to lure him away when he comes to attack, though. Cut to a few days later, I believe, and Godzilla, sure enough, shows up on the Osaka shore. Jets are actually able to lure him away from the shore, and he's departing when, very comically, a group of convicts decide to break out of a truck, and Kobayashi is just, you know, driving around for whatever reason.
Should I mention that, the, you know, these convicts, they were just two weeks away from being released?
They are? Wow. I didn't notice that, because at this point in the movie, I'm just kind of zoned out, because honestly, this part's boring.
Actually, not. It was a joke I was making to sort of signify what's going to happen to these guys, but move on. Nobody got
it. Oh, no, okay. I figured that's just some kind of random plot point they threw in there for no reason.
I'll explain it to you when you're older. Moving on with a synopsis.
Fine, be that way. Anyway, this group of convicts escape. They steal a gasoline truck. Kobayashi and Tsukaoka drive by. The cops are like, hey, let's use your car and follow them. So a chase scene ensues, and eventually the criminals crash land into a warehouse. And having a gasoline truck, everything goes boom and blows up real good. Well, Godzilla sees this and is like, hey, those lights are brighter, so he decides to walk back to Osaka. Turns out Anguirus is not deterred by lights, but rather actually comes to them, and thus both monsters appear in Osaka. And the brawl begins, which is honestly the best part of the movie, the big fight scene. Eventually, Godzilla wins, and by biting Anguirus to death and then burning him, very vicious. After that, I guess he gets bored and decides to just wander off somewhere. Kobayashi and Tsukaoka are transferred to Hokkaido, to a Hokkaido plant. During a company party where everybody's getting drunk real good, they notice that Godzilla has destroyed a fishing boat, and it begins searching for him. They eventually find him on the shore of a very icy island, and they decide to shoot ice cubes and make them bury him. Kobayashi decides, hey, I guess I'll just sacrifice myself for no good reason, and eventually Godzilla is covered head to toe in ice. The end. Yeah, it's kind of an anticlimactic ending there, but...
Yeah, I know, or should I say, we know that that's not exactly how the ending went, but it might as well.
Yeah, I mean, I skipped by a lot of it. I skipped the love interests in the film, because they're really not even relevant to the plot.
We'll get to that. Of course, as we usually do, we start off, we go music, special effects, acting, and then story. So let's talk about music. The only note both of us really have is, let's talk about the lack of any noticeable music at all.
Yeah, I mean, the score for this is like a 180 from the last film. You know, we're talking about how the first film knew when to not use music.
Yeah.
This one really doesn't. It's more... the big scenes, like the attack scenes, there's music, and it's pretty much all the same thing.
Well, even with that being said, it's also the point of there's really no music that sticks out in your head. Like in the first film, there were all those themes that we could talk about, the military theme, the Godzilla March theme. You know, da, 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 da.
Da, da.
Whereas with this movie, I can't remember a single theme from this film. I mean, I barely even remember there was music in it.
Yeah.
You would think you would notice the music more considering how boring the plot is for most of the movie.
No. Yeah, you don't. And there's really no type of... In the first film, you got a lot of dramatic music, but you also got more subdued stuff. And that kind of helped for like the love story. In this one, I really didn't care for any of the scenes that weren't the, you know, monsters fighting, because there's no tension built, the music wasn't helping along the actions of the characters, it was lacking, it wasn't there.
Well, again, we'll get to the story in a second. We have a lot, and for this episode, I do kind of want to keep talks about the actual plot till we get to the story. Unlike last episode, where by the time we got to plot, we literally talked about everything with the plot.
Yeah.
Wasted 15 minutes of our listeners' time, though I'm sure it was not wasted on them. But let's move on now to special effects and talk about the redesign of the Godzilla suit.
I thought, on the whole, I like the special effects of the film. They're not as good as the first film. But the Godzilla suit, I really can't say I like the redesign of it. Particularly the scenes I was noticing with the hand puppet. It looked really, really rushed. The teeth were kind of going every which way. The eyes were goofy looking. It was just kind of blah. I don't know why they didn't use the original suit. It was only one film later, or 1 year, you know. Shouldn't have been much damage.
Or at least the same head.
Yeah, because that's the biggest difference.
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference you can tell right off the bat is that, again, the teeth that, like, are not inside the mouth. It's sort of like a more crocodile than alligator. You know, the first film, I would say it's more alligator-like in the sense that all the teeth fit and they fit inside the mouth. And when his mouth is closed, you can't see any teeth. This film, it's more crocodilian that there are teeth that are sticking out.
Yeah, they're jagged, they go every which way. Which, I mean, is a good look. It's just, it could be done better than that.
Let's talk about the design of Angerus' suit.
I liked his a lot better. That's a hard suit to do well, because you essentially have a guy crawling around on his knees.
Well, it was very interesting at first, because my past experiences with Angerus, always more of a shorter and harder shell on the back.
Yeah.
The shell on this one seemed very flimsy.
It was moving around a lot, and it wasn't as rigid.
Yeah, it wasn't rigid. Like, the back would flex as though it was, like, made of rubber to an extent. Not that it was made of rubber, but it seemed like that kind of consistency. Unlike past experiences where if Angerus, like in Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla, sort of arched his back, his shell wouldn't then dip.
Yeah, it was more the consistency of a turtle shell as opposed to, I guess, just like hard skin, kind of.
Yeah. But other than
I thought this film did a good job of hiding the fact that, you know, he is on his knees, because in a lot of the later films you just have him kind of out in broad daylight on his knees. Yeah, this one, it's kind of his backside's hidden by more of the, you know, buildings, more of the city.
Yeah.
And I noticed he actually stands up on two legs a lot more than he does later on.
Definitely stands up on two legs a lot of times.
Which is a look I liked for him.
That brings up, you know, there was supposed to be a redesign of the monster in the Heisei series. I don't know if you remember it.
I remember the toy.
Yeah, like, that's what I was going to bring up, was the toy. Because I remember seeing a 2-pack in Toys R Us all the way back then when, like, the toys were coming out. And it was like, I think it was Rodan or Mogura. No, it was like a redesign of Gigan and a redesign of Angerus.
Yeah, because I very distinctly remember the Angerus, and he looked very awesome. He was very buff. He was standing up on two legs.
Yeah.
I mean, he would have looked awesome as a character. I just, it's sad that, you know, he didn't get a Heisei design.
For the longest time, I thought there was a remake of Godzilla vs. Gigan because of that.
Yeah, so did I, because I was like, okay, where are these toys at? I'm assuming there's a movie to go with them.
Because, yeah, there was a Gigan, so I thought, oh man, there was a 90s Godzilla vs. Gigan where Angerus showed up, and there wasn't, so...
He gets the shaft. Well, he was supposed to be in
And that's a good kind.
No.
So let's move on to talk about the monster fight.
I enjoyed it. It was, you can kind of tell the evolution of the fights later on in the films, because this one is very brutal and very up close. There's not a lot of him using his breath. He doesn't even use it on Angerus until after he dies, really.
Godzilla doesn't use his breath attack, or I should say atomic breath, that's the proper way to say it, really much in this film. I mean, like maybe 3 times tops. I mean, there's at the end of the fight,
he uses it once during the fight, but it doesn't really affect Angerus. And then at the end of the fight, and I know once later on, he takes down a plane with it.
Well, he uses the breath a couple times, but really it's like only 3 places. Once during the fight, once at the end of the fight, and then during the final sequence, which we'll get to in a second. I mean, there's some parts of the fight that I didn't like. I didn't think they needed to speed up them moving.
See, I like that to an extent. I thought the wide shots of it worked, but when they got up close and when they showed the buildings falling, it ruined the illusion, because you're not just seeing the monsters move fast, you're seeing buildings crumple faster than they should.
Yeah. And then the other part that I didn't like was at least one scene was with puppets, hand puppets, and it just did not fit. It looked, you could tell that they were puppets.
Yeah, and yeah, you know, I was saying how much I liked the puppets in the first film, but this one, it took me out of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it was very obvious that it was puppets, and I know the scene was like they were looking at each other and then they went for each other, and it was like right before the crooks died.
Oh yeah, that's, I know that one.
But overall, it was a great fight. I actually think it's probably one of the better Godzilla fights of the series, strangely enough.
Yeah, I'll say that, you know, what I think makes it so good is probably the lack of budget and effects, because you couldn't have Godzilla just blasting somebody with his atomic breath. So they basically had to get in there and brawl. And yeah. You don't see a whole lot of that, especially later on, but I agree, it's one of the better fights. It's the highlight of the movie, definitely.
Yeah, and that will bring up a problem that we'll talk about in a couple minutes, but let's talk about the finale of the film, which was Godzilla getting trapped in the avalanche of snow, as ridiculous as that sounds.
Yeah.
But what did you think of the effects of the avalanche in the finale?
You know, I break the fourth wall again. I watched it like literally 30 minutes ago. You know, I'm sitting there watching it, and it doesn't look that bad, but it's just I noticed that these are ice cubes.
I mean, a lot of them, they're like squared. They're like cubes.
Only that, you know, ice, when have you ever seen an avalanche that's clear?
Yeah.
It's like frozen water. It's usually snow.
I mean, that should be...
I had to chuckle a little bit.
I mean, there should be pieces of rocks and stuff in there. It's like, I mean, besides the fact that, again, well, I really don't want to get into that, because, again, that goes into story. And again, I want to leave it for, when we talk about story, but I mean, there should be pieces of rock in there. The other thing is, I mean, the jets were good.
I love the jet. I definitely like the scene where Godzilla kind of cranes his neck up, shoots his breath, and one of the planes goes down. But the camera angle that it goes down at, the camera kind of loops around with it.
Yeah.
While it hits the ground and it blows up. I thought that was very well done. But yeah, that's probably the best section of that scene.
I mean, it was interesting to see more use of jets in this movie than it was the first film. Because you really only had that one scene at the end of Godzilla's attack where the jets appeared.
Yeah, they implemented them a lot better in this film. They just kind of, like, used them up to more effect. They, you know, this film didn't have a whole lot of the tanks exploding and trying to fend them off. I guess they kind of learned their lesson from the last film. Like, yeah, this doesn't work.
I think that's all we have for special effect. Let's move on to acting. For as boring as the story was, or a lot of the story was, it really wasn't the acting that was the problem. I think the acting from all people concerned was very good.
Yeah, I think the acting was good. It was more just like the story. It's like they weren't given a whole lot to work with.
I mean, we'll say what we feel about the story in about
a
minute, but we're just building suspense, people, but...
I think the worst actor of the bunch would have to be Kobayashi. But then again, I don't know how much of that is his portrayal and how much the director wanted him to do. But his role seemed kind of out of place with the rest of the film.
Now, I'm going to actually disagree with you. I think he was probably the better actor of the film.
You know, really?
Well, in the sense of the story, like I said, we'll get to in a second, he was sort of the comedic relief. And so, I feel he fit that role very well. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I just actually want to let you know, we probably should have said this at the beginning, that the version that we've seen is the Japanese version, not the American version.
Yes.
We both have old copies, and we have the Japanese version, so we don't have, like, the classic media re-release from a couple of years ago, where we had both versions, we just have the Japanese version, so...
Well, I actually do, but... I've never watched the American version.
Oh. But, yeah, again, anyway. The point is, you know, it seemed like, you know, they were preparing you for something, for what was going to happen, and when it did happen, I really shouldn't say it was a surprise, because it wasn't, because you sort of could predict it. Let's move on to the story.
We really can't talk too much about the acting, because while it was good, it was just they weren't giving enough to work with, so that nothing really stood out.
I mean, we wanted to sort of stall, but try to stretch this episode out, because, again, there's not much to talk about, mostly because, again, what we're going to talk about right now, which is the story, and the fact that the A plot and the B plot, which is the monster fight and the sort of romance, had no connection whatsoever.
At all.
I mean, again, I was going to say it earlier, this feels like two completely different movies that were just pushed together. It's like they filmed the monster fight and said, wow, we only filmed about 30 minutes of a film. Wait, let's take this romantic film that we had been filming, push it together, add Godzilla getting buried by an avalanche, and it'll be a film. We got it! That's what it feels like!
Yeah, they just kind of spliced it together, yeah.
I mean, there's... I mean, and no offense to the, you know, the romance that was going on in the film. I mean, it was... For what it is, I'm sure it would have been interesting if it was its own separate film. But in a Godzilla film, I had no interest whatsoever. I'm like...
Yeah, it's not what you want to see.
I mean, I'm watching it going, and how does this concern to Godzilla?
Yeah, you know, you look back at the first film, and I am comparing that a lot to it because it's the direct sequel to it. But that film had a love triangle that tied in with the actual plot of the movie, and it was important to the plot. This love triangle, or this love romance, plays into the film none. It doesn't. It makes no impact on the story at all.
Yeah, I mean, you hit on a point exactly. And the first film, you know, the not just, you know, the love triangle, but the characters themselves had a connection, at least to the country and sort of the feelings of the country that the country was going through when it concerned to Godzilla. There was really no concern or connection whatsoever to what the country or anything else was feeling with Godzilla. I mean, outside of, A, Godzilla's going to attack the city and destroy my factory.
Yeah, I think I saw, you know, the one scene of basically the aftermath of the attack. In the first film, there were tons of scenes, you know, showing that. And then, you know, what also makes it pretty hilarious is that they go off and get drunk and have like a nice old dinner.
I mean, after a monster fight and Godzilla disappears, they have it's sort of the, I don't want to say engagement, but it's sort of like, because they're Tsukioka and the owner's daughter are actually engaged at that point, or at least I believe they are. And so it's like an engagement party that they're having.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody just seems very, very low-key and relaxed. You know, even though Godzilla's not defeated, he just wandered off. You should still be very paranoid at this point.
I mean, I understand they're apparently in Hokkaido now, but it's like, didn't Godzilla just attack a city like 5 minutes ago? And I mean, I'm guessing...
That was actually one of my notes. The guards were like, oh, hey, we're okay now. He wandered off because he can't just turn back around.
Yeah. I mean, I found it fun, you know, to get into it. First of all, I want to say how interesting it was that they brought Dr. Yamada back for the film.
Yeah, I guess cameo, basically. He's only in one scene, right?
Though, I do get a feeling that basically the higher-ups in Tokyo just sent them down there to tell them, you're screwed.
That's basically all they said.
Here's this film of our countermeasures from year ago.
Yeah,
it's electric fence. It's electric fence, and just Godzilla just stomping through. These are our countermeasures. See how well they work? You're screwed. And then to come up with the whole light bomb, which I'm like, light bomb? What's a light bomb? And I'm waiting to see what the light bomb is. I'm going, they're effing flares!
And I like that it was touched on, you know, yeah, Godzilla hates light. Was that ever explicitly said in the first film, or was he just always attacked at night? And then, you know, later on in the series, Godzilla doesn't seem to hate light at all.
I mean, it's sort of the same thing with, you know, Godzilla vs. King Kong, where Godzilla apparently hates electricity. You mean, after it did so well warding him off in the first film?
Yeah, and just rams through the, you know, no, yeah, he hates electricity, of course.
But it's the same thing, you know, light tracks him, and then you have sort of and you wonder where it's going for a moment, and then you realize, oh god, yeah, they're gonna blow something up and it's gonna attract Godzilla. But it seemed strange for a moment when they were covering the criminals, but once they broke out and got into the gas truck, you realize...
Yeah, at first I was like, alright, what am I watching here? And then I was like, oh, wow, this is a huge, huge distraction from the film. You could have just made this a lot easier.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they just have, like, kicked the driver of the truck and it flew into a tanker or something instead of having them escape and then...
Oh,
yeah, then our two heroes just happen by. Hey, cops, we need to borrow this car. Yeah, okay.
Because, you know, two people in the middle while you're driving, trying to drive, or I guess they were driving towards a factory, but this couple's like, hey, there's two dangerous criminals. We need your car. No.
I know, right? Don't endanger innocent people now.
But it's just the thing of, like, do they know the cops? Is it like, is the cop his brother?
It's like, hey man, how you doing? Yeah, I need to borrow this, all right.
I don't know about in Georgia, but I know in Florida, if a cop tried to stop a car saying, we need to borrow your car for, to chase another car, I guarantee you the next words are like, you can kiss my ass.
Yeah, exactly. That, and then, you know, if someone by some chance agreed, I don't think you're going to want to be with them. Like, okay, yeah, I'm like, shotgun.
I mean, was he in the seat next to the cop?
Yeah, they didn't even get out the car, they were in there with him.
Wait, I thought, was the cop driving, or was he still driving the car?
I think he was still driving.
Oh, Lord. Oh.
It's like, follow that car.
It would be just so much more funnier if it wasn't sad. But
the funniest line in the film, though, and I cannot exactly remember what scene it's in, but it's when Tsukioka goes to leave his love interest, and she says, take good care of my father, please. And what does he reply with? See ya. Not even a, okay, I'll do that, darling. A bye. See ya. I'm just imagining, peace. And it's like, later. Holla. Like, what a douche. She's asking her to take care of her father. Mm-hmm, yeah, later.
My favorite were the policemen and soldiers down at the bay. They were watching as Godzilla was approaching, and then the light bombs went off, and he was going away, and they're all, like, just standing there, like, hey, yeah, we won! I'm like, hey, jackasses! Wouldn't it be smarter to start celebrating after Godzilla's completely gone?
That's what I'm saying, is like, he's just walking away. Hey, he's going in the right direction. Let's celebrate.
No. I mean, there's still 2 minutes on the clock! But, you know, speaking of that, the fact that Godzilla can be apparently wielded away with light. How dumb is this Godzilla?
Man. Yeah, he definitely lost a few IQ points.
Oh, excuse me. Maybe we should give it its proper American name, Gigantus.
Yeah. Godzilla's but, like, oh, no, he's not me. He's not related to me.
That and the fact that apparently it just stands there when an avalanche is coming towards it.
Yeah, hey, all this ice cube and snowballs are falling on me. Whee!
I mean, this
don't use your atomic breath to melt them.
This was definitely more of a 50s giant monster movie than the first one was. I mean, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah. Well, even you know, if you look at the story, this is one of the only films where the humans actually succeed in stopping Godzilla by their own means. They don't have to use some experimental technology. They just use a technique to actually stop him. They don't kill him, but they deter him.
Yeah.
Granted, it's a dumb way, but...
That makes no sense, considering that he's a nuclear monster. And he has fire breath! But yeah. Apparently Godzilla's just so dumb that he doesn't even think about using his
fire breath. Yeah, he only uses him when Gigantus after he kills him.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, hey, he's dead now. Now I can light him on fire.
And to shoot down the planes.
Yeah.
I mean, I have had this image in my mind of Godzilla from the first film and Gigantus here, you know, on their first day of school. I'm Godzilla. I'm king of the monsters. And this is my sister, Gigantus. I'm Moron!
Gigantus is in the special class.
And rides the bus to school. The short bus.
It's like when you have that kid who's the jock, and then the brother that's not. It's like, oh, God. Oh, you related him? Yeah.
So does this mean that we're now going to have an ABC after school special about Godzilla and his sister Gigantus?
A very special show about respect.
We're going to get so many letters. What?
Nothing. I'm just like bracing myself for the emails now.
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with special classes?
Yeah. But let's try to move on from.
Where are we at? Story. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're on now.
So let's talk about a second point that we have in story. Let's talk about the romance between Tsukioka and the owner's daughter.
you know, I'm going to let you talk about it because I can't, because I don't remember a whole lot of it. I don't remember the character's name.
Well,
it was just so boring. I'm sorry.
My point is,
like, I like, you know, I like the actress. It is just, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, but this is one of the films when I was waiting on Godzilla to appear on the screen.
Well, my whole point was sort of the lack, because this was the fastest moving romance I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Because at the beginning of the film, they're floating around, and then I don't even think they're an item yet.
They're floating around at the beginning, and then when Godzilla's attacking, they're dating. They're engaged in 5 minutes later.
Yeah, basically, okay, first act, dating. Second act, first act, know each other. Second act, dating. Third act, engaged. Like, wow. And it's not like a whole lot of time passes in the film.
Yeah.
Maybe a week total.
I mean, I would say more of a month at most. Because, after the fight, they had to move down to Hokkaido. So.
Yeah, and let me tell you, if my girlfriend was like, hey, let's get engaged after a month, all you'd hear is, like, me jumping in the car. I'm going on 2 years now. Yeah. No, she hasn't asked yet.
Again, that's why Kobayashi, I felt, was had the best performance. Because his comedy is so funny. Because that was really the only thing of the romantic story that was of interest was our third point, which is him using the matchmaker and ending up getting the other girl working the radio.
True. Well, maybe I'll take back what I said about him being the bad. I think it's not necessarily the character, but the
it was
story.
So obvious that he was going to die at the end of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, it was. And I guess that kind of deters from it. It's like, well, you don't want to invest in a character too much when you kind of see the writing on the wall.
I mean, it became painfully obvious. I mean, at the beginning where they're both in that little crack and they're like, hey, jackasses, these monsters fighting, you think waiting directly under them as rocks are falling?
It's like, let's just watch.
Yeah. Instead of trying to get away from there where the rocks aren't falling.
Yeah, not only they're hiding with, you know, under rocks that are tumbling down that the monsters are directly in front of.
I mean, a couple of them even hit them when they had the coat over them. Like, how are they not dead?
Oh, yeah, the little, like, boulders, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what, were they eating Popeye's spinach?
Sure, I ain't scared of nothing.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but how bad of a pilot is he, too? It's like, the very first scene you meet him, his plane dies. It's like,
well,
really, dude?
Well, that's not his piloting. That's a mechanical failure.
Well, shouldn't he? Still. It's like, dude, you gotta be rescued. I just get the sense that, like, he's always being in that situation. It's like, oh, man, I gotta bail Kobayashi out again.
But Kobayashi brings up a good point. Let's talk about how they defeated Godzilla. And the fact, we didn't bring this up during special effects because I forgot, but why does a prop seaplane move about the same speed as a jet?
Yeah. Maybe it's one of those
things we weren't supposed to notice?
Yeah.
I find it funny that this is how you knew he was going to die. He went for a third pass. I'm like, you would think after the second pass where he got through, you're like, wow, I really shouldn't gamble with my life anymore.
Yeah, but, you know, he thinks he's such a good pilot, he can just sacrifice. Or he can just, you know, do all that. Yeah.
I mean, and there's no common sense into him making a third pass. They know where the monster is. They got the location when you reported it the first time.
Yeah, there's really no need for a second pass.
And if you see the shots, it's not about keeping him there because the monster wasn't moving in the first place.
Because he was just chilling, minding his own business.
I mean, because if I remember right, that was the reason he kept making the pass, was because I have to keep Godzilla's attention and stall for time. I'm like, he was sitting there!
Yeah, well, it's kind of bringing up the point. What was Godzilla doing on that island anyway? Was it just, like, hot? He's like, yeah, man, he just need to chill out in this icy bath. Like, what, you know, what is... Godzilla spends a lot of time just wandering around in this movie.
Yeah.
He just shows up in Osaka. Then he just, like, wanders off after he kills Angaris, and, you know, you next time you see him, he's just walking around on this island made of ice.
Yeah. I think the last point we'll talk about story is, again, there was an American version. Let me quickly go over what happened in the American version. There was an alternate script, and actually the first name of it was supposed to be the Volcano Monster, of all things.
Yeah. Well, apparently there was an attempt to cut out everything but the monster fight.
Yeah, they were going to cut all the Japanese actors out completely. A new script was written by a sci-fi writer called Eve Nelador. I don't know how to say that name. But they ended up using footage, like, sort of like how the last one did. Warner Brothers ended up releasing it in 1959 under the title Gigantus the Fire Monster, which is why we were calling it Gigantus earlier.
Yeah, and I mean, really, this plot, the American plot, didn't differ as much as the original, which is odd. So originally, you know, they had the idea to change more of the film and ended up changing less. But
I mean, like,
I don't know why they changed the name, though.
Like, the footage that, where they were in the room and they were showing, the, like, the footage from the first film, that was replaced with, like, U.S. document footage from a film called Unknown Island, which featured dinosaurs, like, claymation scenes and stuff. So, again, I've not seen the American version. Though, one interesting note that I found out was apparently George Takei, a.k.a. Lieutenant Hikuru Sulu from Star Trek, was one of the English voice actors.
That's funny.
Which means that they passed off the possible line, "Wow, Godzilla can really blow."
Yeah, I'm saving that line.
Or better yet, "Godzilla can blow me away anything."
Okay, just stop now.
Too creepy?
A smidge.
But apparently one of George Takei's lines has something to do with banana oil. Very famous.
I'm going to have to watch the American version just to hear it.
It's apparently something that they put in there to try to match the mouth movements for the Japanese word bakuroso, which means idiot or bonehead.
Okay, now I really want to hear it just to see, like, wow. Who decided, okay, hey, you know what matches that? Banana oil. Let's work that in the script somehow.
So, overall, what do you think of the film?
You know, I'm going to have to go with like a 2.5. Pretty low. I was thinking about a 3, but the 2.5 is based solely on the fight scene.
Yeah. You know what, I'm actually going to go 2. I know this may shock people, but I don't want to hear anybody complain about the American Godzilla anymore being so bad after seeing this film.
No, yeah, this, I probably enjoyed, like, Godzilla vs. Megalon better than this.
Yeah, I mean, I said this before, and again, I said it not seeing this before, but now after seeing this, I stand by it. I think this is, bar none, probably the worst Godzilla film of the Showa era.
Yeah, and, I mean, I do agree with that, and I definitely say that it's such an odd juxtaposition, because it is one of the at least one of the worst, and has at least one of the best fight scenes.
Yeah,
unfortunately, it's just that's the only good scene in the entire film.
I mean, the whole it's basically it's a movie where they like just shoved a lot of things in to try to make up for the fact that they only had a 30-minute film.
Yeah, they fluffed out a film and made it too long, or just yeah.
Well, they had no story. It was based, you know, in my mind, it was really they had an idea. Let's have two monsters fight, and they didn't think it out more than that.
And it's funny that Anguirus goes on to, you know, star in a lot of films with Godzilla because, I mean, he put up a good fight, but this film's so kind of forgettable that I'm surprised someone thought back and used him instead of just creating a new creature.
I think a lot of that probably had a lot more to do when he came, because I think his next entry into the film franchise would be Destroy All Monsters.
Yeah.
And he had a pretty infamous scene where he was bit onto Ghidorah's neck and hanging, so.
I think, yeah, that's where he really kind of got his fan base from. His reputation for being tough. Because I like the character, and I think I'd definitely like to see him return in a future film.
Yeah. So, that's basically what we think. I have a 2. Jesse has a 2.5. So, that's it for Godzilla Raids Again. We're going to let you guys now know what our next episode will be covering. We're actually not going to be covering Godzilla vs. King Kong. We're actually going to cover the American Godzilla because we plan on having a special guest on next episode. And Yeah, and he requested the American Godzilla since he actually likes that. So we thought that'd be interesting. So next month, we will be covering the American Godzilla, the 98 version. So send your reviews in at TokyoSOSPodcast@gmail.com, and we will read them next.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and get that out of the way.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like the American Godzilla, so...
I do, too. I mean, I don't hate on it as much as other people do. Yeah. And it's going to be interesting because I haven't seen it in, probably 5 years.
So before we tell you where you can find the show, we're going to tell you about some of our friends. First, we're going to talk about Kyle Yost's Kaiju Cast. Everybody should check it out. That the other Godzilla podcast, the better one.
Yeah. We're humble and truthful.
Of course, our good friend Michael Bailey, who's the man who's responsible for this insane asylum that now you're listening to. So, when you want to come to kill us, just remember, it's his fault, so kill him too.
Yeah, blame it on Bale.
Our good friend Scott H. Gardner with Back to the Bins and Tales from the JSA, which he does with Michael Bailey, along with numerous other podcasts.
Choo Choo Freaks, he's awesome on that. They recently had a Terminator episode, which I can highly recommend. It was very, very good. Also, I recommend Clone Saga Chronicles, just because I don't believe I've pimped that one before. Spider-Man, and the 90s Spider-Man in particular, it's another very good show.
Yeah, well, speaking of Spider-Man podcast, there's the Spider-Man Crawlspace, hosted by Brad Douglas. They're coming on their 100th episode. Another Spider-Man podcast, Spectacular Webs, with Donna Mark and some guy named Thomas Mattis. I don't think he's going to go anywhere, though.
Some D-bag who just likes anime a lot, apparently.
Yeah. Speaking of anime, there's the Shaft podcast, which I have content on called Thomas's Prerogative. But the Shaft podcast is hosted by my good friends Chris and Gene, and everybody should check it out. There's Thomas DJ with Better in the Dark and Thomas DJ's DJ Cavalcade, which is a Green Lantern podcast. I can't speak.
Dude, I gotta say, every time you say Shaft podcast, I just think of something naughty. I do. I feel so bad.
Horrible.
I'm just imagining like this podcast about rating your favorite films. It's like, man.
Dude. Well, Don thought it was about Shaft.
Like, the 70s?
Yeah.
Shaft? Like, because Shaft is so awesome, he has to have an ongoing podcast.
Absolutely. The final person we'll pimp is, I'm going to pimp the Nostalgia Critic. ThatGuyAtTheGlasses.com. Nostalgia Critic is actually one of many videos you can find there, but I believe it's the main one. He basically reviews the nostalgic stuff from his past and things like Space Jam and Cartoon Osos. It sort of makes fun of him. It's a great show, so check it out. Check out the Batman and Robin review. It's absolutely hilarious.
It's better than the movie itself.
Yeah.
It really is.
All I have to say is Bat credit card. So that's it for this show. Crazy show, which to peel back the fourth wall a little bit. Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of editing done on this show.
Yeah, my synopsis for one. I'm still gonna hang of that, but at least I wrote it down and came prepared more or less.
Yeah. But overall, that's it for this show. Jesse, do you want to tell people where they can find the show?
You can reach out and touch us at.
Okay, I'm just backing away right now.
I so tried to say it with a straight face. You can contact us at TokyoSOSPodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to shoot us an email. We'll gladly read it on the show. Also, you can contact us via Facebook at TokyoSOS. First name Tokyo, last name SOS. Become a friend there. We'll update it with every episode. And we also have a couple discussions on the page open. I believe that's it, correct?
We're on iTunes.
Oh, yes. We're on iTunes and Podomatic, which is, how you might want to be able to actually download the show.
Yeah, by searching for Tokyo SOS, you can find us on iTunes, and of course on Podomatic, we're www.tokyosos.podomatic.com.
Yes. Leave us a review. Even if you didn't like the show, let us know. We're not biased. We'll take whatever.
Yeah.
Preferably, we want good reviews, but...
Yeah, but we understand.
Yeah, so the only way to get better at this is, you know, if we have criticisms, so.
And the support of people like you. And now you know. Da-da-da.
I know it's half the battle.
G.I. Joe, real American hero. So, until next time, you crazy Godzilla fans. Run! Eat Godzilla!
George. Steve Martin signing off from Tokyo, Japan.